Welcome, everyone, to the Crit Rate Podcast for Wednesday, March 13th. It's almost my birthday.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I'm your host, Justin Skirbo, and I'm joined by Justin Chow.
Justin Chow is back.
And I'm also joined by Liz Caetano.
I'm also here.
Caetano is here. Yep.
Welcome, everybody.
Clap, clap, clap.
It's just another week in Gaia. You know, I think the name of the world in Final Fantasy is Gaia, but they never say it.
They don't. I think I got that from like an instruction booklet back when. And I was just like, Gaia.
Is it only Gaia in 7?
I think the name of the world changes in some of the other games. I think it's Gaia 6? In some other ones.
Right? I feel like it's Gaia in 6 too. But I could be totally incorrect about that.
I would need to reference.
It's called Eras.
In 6?
The World of Balance and the World of Ruin.
World of Ruin, I know. Yeah, that's the 6. Second half.
Maybe I'm just thinking.
I think
7.
Gaia is also the name of 9.
Sorry. It's divided by between 2 eras, the World of Balance and the World of Ruins.
Yeah. And then I think the world in 9 is called Gaia.
Look it up. I definitely think.
Or Terra.
It is Gaia. It is Gaia in Final Fantasy 9.
Is 10 Terra?
I don't know anything besides Spira. Honestly.
Spira. Yeah. Fictional world of Spira in Final Fantasy 10.
There you go.
Let's see what 7 is. We do know it is called Gaia. You were correct.
It is. Okay.
So what Gaia about 8? Maybe 8 is Terra.
So check it out.
Refers to as Earth. Lame.
That's why that game was terrible. It wasn't junctioning. It was that.
Yeah.
We've been playing a lot of Final Fantasy 7, which we will get into. There's not a crazy amount of news today, this week. We're kind of in an interesting spot. I think everyone's just kind of like heads down playing games because there's just a lot of games to be playing. But I think it's important that we take a moment to start the podcast by, you know, just having a moment of remembrance for the loss of Akira Toriyama.
Right.
God damn.
Yeah, how did Jason take it?
Not good.
Yeah.
Not good. Not
well
at all.
Was it really that bad?
It was not. Yeah, it was bad. I knew it was going to be bad.
Yeah.
And I knew he didn't know yet because he was acting like everything was fine. And so Jason's favorite show is Dragon Ball Z. And he's like a super fan. And he's been really tapped into like all the new stuff. And he was telling me, like, I knew it was a problem because I was like, he's been, the creator's been involved in all the stuff that they're doing recently.
Yeah.
And the problem. And so it was such a great moment because like Dragon Ball GT sort of went off track and people don't like what happened in Dragon Ball GT, and it's because Akira Toriyama wasn't involved in that. So then when they brought back
Super,
thank you. When they brought back Super, he was like, I'm going to be involved. Everybody loves it. It's like, oh my God, it's like Dragon Ball Z all over again. My childhood has come back to life, and he's got all these plans for these movies, and he's told me all the conspiracy theories about, like, you know, the Broly movie came out, which was so good. The Broly movie came out, and like how, like, his power, and they think that, like, the way that Broly gets his power is the way that Vegeta and Goku are going to get stronger, and because they made some, like, allusion to that. And so he definitely had a plan for the future of the franchise, and now. Also, apparently, his protege was, like, supposed to be taking over, but he was having some creative differences with, like, the studio and with the Akira Toriyama, or, like, something. So now it's, like, in a very fragile state. So purely from, like, I feel like I'm talking a lot about his, like, work, which is a little disrespectful because he was a human in his own life. And, like, you know, that's sad. But it's particularly, you know, heart-wrenching because, like, people were still very invested in the future of his creation and what was going to happen and his involvement in it. And now, not even is it like sad that they're losing this creator of something they love, but like also they don't know what their future holds.
It's like losing, I would say, and we talked about this before, like Miyamoto in video games, but like this is anime. And like Dragon Ball Z came in a time when like anime started becoming like actually almost budding mainstream.
Yeah.
I remember back in like 7 o'clock in the morning, right after like Sailor Moon and like Beast Wars, at least here in Jersey, I don't remember. But like, I mean, I have like books, like art books. My parents would show me tons of that stuff. It was just like all over the place. It's like almost like Pokemon where it's now touched multi-generations.
Yeah.
This one creator has touched, you know, hundreds of thousands of people's lives around the world.
Yeah.
In different in different languages.
And so many things are inspired by Dragon Ball.
Including video games.
Yeah, right. It's not even just Dragon Ball. I mean, it's important to, you know, consider that his work expanded even beyond anime. I mean, right. He's basically the entire visual foundation for Dragon Quest, like the most, mm-hmm. the longest running, most successful JRPG series of all time.
Yeah.
And of course, the literal masterpiece of Chrono Trigger, you know, like that entire visual style. I mean, that's all him, you know? That's original Toriyama artwork, you know what I mean?
It does look like Dragon Ball.
It's fantastic. Yeah, I mean that was the whole thing. Like
it is. That's Goku and Bulma on the front.
Right?
For Chrono Trigger, yeah.
Yeah, I mean literally. So it is absolutely a shame to lose an icon like this. And
yeah.
He's so young too. He was what, 68?
Yeah.
Due to a blood clot in his brain or something like that. Yeah.
And it's like there's not gonna be like, you know, there's no replacing that. You know what I mean? Like anime is a very sort of like, I don't know, sprawling art style. Like there's a lot of different people that have their own sort of plays on it. But there was something very distinct and unique about what Toriyama did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a huge shame that that we lost a legend, you know?
So suddenly. Like it wasn't even like, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, a lot of passing prepared. Was. Yeah.
That's right.
Anyway.
Well, you will be missed. You will be remembered, no doubt about that.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'm really curious what Alex would say. I feel like he's got some big heartstrings tied to Dragon Ball and all things Toriyama.
So I broke the news to Jason. I was like, so I think you don't know yet. Did you hear what happened? There's some like sad news. And he was like, he had no idea what I was talking about. I told him and he was like, I mean, he didn't like cry, but he was very upset.
Yeah.
And he was like kind of pacing around the house. He's like, oh my God, you told me that. Like, what's going to happen? Like,
yeah.
So we talked about it for a few days. It was present in our house. And then he had to, he didn't have to, but he had like a drink later that night. He was like, he took his White Claw, he like poured it out a little bit. He's like, I'm just going to pour it out.
White Claw. No, Jason.
He was like, this today, I need a drink. I can't handle it.
The lime one, not the grapefruit.
Tarim looks down and gives a little nod. Thank you.
Anyway.
All right. So we will, you know, I always wanted, I'm actually very curious. We're talking about like future works. I'm curious what the status of Dragon Quest 12 is also, because that was going to be a big change up in art style and all. Like, do you remember when the like teaser for Dragon Quest 12 came out? Where it was like, it's supposed to be like very matured and like, it's all like rock and roll. And it's like, I don't know. It's like slashes in a stone and like that makes the thing. I don't know. It was a very long time ago that they teased it.
But I don't even remember that.
But I'm curious about that, and I always wanted to see an actual, real, like, sequel or remake or something to Chrono Trigger. Might still happen. Who knows? All right. There's a lot of RPGs going on right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny you mentioned that. I mean, I don't really know if it's considered an RPG. I guess so. The Tactical Unicorn Overlord. Ugh.
Dude, yeah. I am so...
Yeah, I know.
It is the next thing that's in line on my cross-media bar, and every time I turn my PlayStation on, like, even if I'm in the middle of Final Fantasy VII, I still pop out and just go over, and I just look at it. I'm like, God, these characters look so good. Like, I love the way VanillaWare stuff looks.
Yeah, I know.
You gonna pause?
I'm definitely not gonna pause. I am going to finish, and I'm probably gonna play through Final Fantasy VII again on hard mode. Gotta get that platinum.
Yeah.
Although, I will be blowing past all this side shit on the second playthrough. I'm hoping that you can new game plus it in hard mode. That would be great.
You could in the other one, right?
I don't remember. But I hope so.
I think you could, because then you had all your items plus
right, because you had your materia. Which is like critical to have your like chakra and prey materia. And
yeah, I believe you can.
From your lips to God's ears. That's what I'm hoping for.
100-1% sure that you did. Okay. I'm pretty sure it was, because anyway, keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you were about to say something.
Just whether or not I want to buy this on the Switch or on the PlayStation.
I'm definitely buying it on the PlayStation.
I'm just going to like it on the PlayStation a lot. But, man, I feel like for a tactics game, it is kind of perfect on the Switch, just in case I wanted to take it anywhere else.
You got
to
buy it twice.
Right.
Did you hear the guy? Oh, man. I have to pull this up for you.
No, I don't say this.
I have to pull this up for you.
This game is not a $140 game.
No. Hang on.
What?
This is an important thing. So there has been a very healthy rumor going around.
Healthy. Thriving.
Thriving. Thriving. Much to discuss around this rumor. Here we go. So in response, so do you know who Yasumi Matsuono is?
Matsuono sounds somewhat Japanese, I think. Familiar,
so he is the director of the Ogre Battle series.
Oh, cool.
As well as Tactics Ogre and Final Fantasy Tactics. And in response to being asked about a remake of Final Fantasy Tactics, he urged everyone to support Unicorn Overlord.
I'll buy this game as many times as I need to in order to get a Final Fantasy Tactics. What kind of endorsement is that? Hey, I will come out of retirement if you buy this game a lot.
Well, I think he's probably got to sell it up to Square, right, and they probably have to be like, well, prove to us that people give a shit about Tactics
games.
They've
made Final Fantasy Tactics how many times on how many platforms, phone included, and I've bought all of them.
The Final Fantasy Tactics remake is also something that was in that NVIDIA leak, so I feel like it might be happening, but who knows? Yeah. Who knows? I'd probably try it
again.
That
is a healthy rumor.
That, right?
It's a spry rumor if I've ever heard one.
That's right. It got done stretching. It's doing its whole thing.
Yeah. I would be so happy. When I went back into Tactics Ogre, I was both like pleasantly surprised, but then also like, oh yeah, this game is really hard and punishing.
You know what's funny? It's like I did not like Final Fantasy Tactics at all.
I know.
And Ogre,
you tried it a few times.
I did. But like I did like Fire Emblem and games like that. So I know I'm not like totally averse to tactics games. But with Unicorn Overlord, I haven't really looked up gameplay or listened to any reviews about it. I was like, these visuals look awesome. I saw one in-game, like, I mean, like, I made the page on Crit Rate, which you should check out at critrate.io. You should hit it with the little fire icon to show that you're excited for it, and then you'll be notified when the review comes up so you can tell us your thoughts. But when I made that page, I saw like an in-game, like an in-battle shot and like a shot of the tactical map. And I was like, yo, like this, like, I don't know what's going on inside this, but this looks amazing. So
the tactics games have, they're slow, but what Fire Emblem does is it has made it way more simple. It's like simpler and like faster, I feel.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more like, I don't know, like, digestible.
Do you know the thing that changed it for me? I'll tell you exactly what changed it for me. Well, one, the menus in Final Fantasy Tactics drive me nuts because they're just dated, right? It's just, it's very annoying to know what's at my disposal, what can I do, how does, like, where can things hit? Like, it's a lot of guessing around.
It's basically a mouse click, like a right mouse click, and then all of the lists of things that you can do, just jot down.
So that's brutal. And then the second piece that's brutal is, I know this is such like a dumb thing, but the character's facing a certain direction after you finish a turn. I hate that.
I love that.
I hate that.
I love that a lot.
It's just like, it's just not a, it's just such a needless complication on top of what the game's already thing. Because now I'm like,
I mean, isn't part of the strategy what direction they're
facing? Well, in that game, it has to do with like how much damage that you take from certain directions or whatever. It's it's just one additional layer of like complication that's not necessary. Whereas in like Fire Emblem, the direction that you're facing doesn't matter. But like, it's more like type differences. So like, you know, axe kills sword guy, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm not going to go.
People just have
genius.
Different thresholds of what they want to deal with.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
To the genius of the maps in Final Fantasy Tactics and how tightly those things were, so those specific mechanics made sense. But they also made the battlefield look cool.
Yeah, that's very. That's like, that makes sense. That's one step too far in Vantage's world. You know, it's one step too far in Vantage's world.
Yeah, it's one step too far for Skirbo.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all too far for me. I don't want to play those games at all, but I understand why it makes sense. Yeah.
So it's like my comfort level is somewhere between, like, somewhere between Fire Emblem and like Disgaea. I'm like somewhere between them because I tried playing Disgaea once. First of all, story wise, it's just weird.
I liked it. There's a lot of them though.
Yeah, but I remember trying that game and it not really gelling. Mm-hmm. But Fire Emblem, basically every Fire Emblem game I've played, I've enjoyed.
Yeah.
Which is actually quite a few now, surprisingly. So I really want to play Unicorn Overlord. Dude, I'm drowning right now. I'm drowning.
In games?
Every time I turn on my system, it's like my entire bar is filled with games that I've either barely started or haven't played yet. Mm. Like, It's Final Fantasy VII, Unicorn Overlord, The Brothers, Tale of Two Sons remake, Pacific Drive, Sea of Stars. There's so much stuff on there.
And I'm like, that's a lot of RPGs.
I know.
I'm like a solid 50 or so hours into Final Fantasy, and I'm pretty sure I'm like halfway, maybe.
We were talking about this right beforehand, where it's like, I'm under the impression that there's at least two more open world sections past Coral.
We can think of two more sections that like we definitely saw in the trailer that we haven't seen yet, which means more to come.
I don't really know how to make heads or tails of that, but I'm enjoying it very much.
I am enjoying it. I'm playing it a lot.
Playing it a lot.
Playing it a lot.
Playing it a lot.
There are times where I wish there was a little less of the filler, but at the same time, it's like not really taking away from what I've experienced. Somehow, even though I'm like, I wish that wasn't here, but like, I'm having such a good time, I don't really care.
Yeah. Some of the filler is definitely like interesting. It's not all sand and garbage.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't consider all of it filler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Only some of it's filler. Yeah,
right. At this point,
some of the side quests disguised. Are fine. Yeah.
We're all in like chapter 9 right now, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're all in the same, because we're almost at the same spot. Yeah. We were talking. I think we're last time I talked to you, we were also pretty close.
Yeah.
So he's at the same spot.
So, So it's like, I'm at a point now where I've kind of hit a groove with the open world stuff where it's like, I know what I have to do. I know like what level of effort I need to put for certain things. And that is nice. Oh, excuse me. That was weird. But I will also say, to its benefit, I feel like I'm still prereq. I'm definitely still hearing too much. But I feel like I am hearing less from Chadley, which is good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, definitely still too much.
But way less.
Way less. That area was way obnoxious. Too
much. Yeah. I'm much happier with my interactions with Chadley.
Yeah. I'm just like, okay, this is fine. The girl is still the worst. It's like, dude, nothing she says is useful.
Nothing she says is useful. She says the same thing every time you play, you do one of those combat things in the world. So if you don't beat on the first try, the thing that's most upsetting to me is like, now I have to hear this.
Oh my god!
Say the same freaking thing.
Can I tell you how many times that happens?
From my controller, and I've been like, there are times where I'm like on a phone call, and all of a sudden she starts talking to me, and people are like, "Oh, Liz, are you there?" I'm like, "No, I'm not." Oh my gosh.
I can't tell you how many times last night I heard Rare Sandworm something something.
Oh my god! Just like, lady, so annoying.
Relax.
Also, just the same. She's like, four voice lines even. Like, oh, that's gonna hurt.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah. Still rocking though. Still enjoying it. It's probably, I have to imagine it's gonna end somewhere around like the 80-hour mark. Like, I don't think it'll be, I think it'll probably be something like that. Like, I imagine we're at least halfway through at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say over halfway. But honestly, I'm thinking like 60%.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to the next games. Like, we were just saying, I'm looking forward to the next games that I have sort of, like, queued up to play. But I'm also, like, not looking for the end for this very quickly.
I have found myself going through the open world stuff and, like, really, I mean, at the point that I'm at, like, there are, like, the story beats are just so, they're so good. They're so good, guys. I can't tell you. Like, the character writing
like the
is
main
so good.
Story, you mean?
Yeah, the main story. Even when you think you're on, like, a side story thing, you realize that, oh, wow, that's actually a big part of, like, the main stuff that you have to be doing anyway. Okay. Like, it's good. It's very good. But you're going to get to, like, there are some, they're, like, they're introducing, like, new little, like, side quests that weren't in any of the other open worlds or the other quests. It's not, like, regurgitated nonsense like in some other games where it's just like the same type of like mechanic,
right?
But some of the mechanics are really dumb, like really dumb. Like,
like what?
I can't tell you. I mean, it's just like one of them is like you have to lead a creature to a spot by pulling a can on a string, and then when it gets too close you have to press L2 to pull the can away so that it continues to follow it. Or it just starts walking back, and you have to like do it all over.
That is annoying.
Anytime
you do that three times,
that sounds terrible.
And then on the fourth time, it's even farther.
That's worse than push-ups or sit-ups.
Yeah,
I find that anytime you're interacting with something that you're moving in that game, I'm like, this is the worst part.
This is not meant to be
like. Do you remember in the demo when you're like pushing that weird ventilator vacuum thing?
Yeah.
I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Like, right now, this sucks.
Yeah. It's
not even a good puzzle.
They're not.
Well, that's what I mean. It's not like a platformer.
Like, I shouldn't be interacting with the world this way.
Right.
It's like I want to be playing a JRPG right now.
You know what's different though? Yeah. Like, Sea of Stars did traversal, like world exploration, in a way that was actually like cool. Like,
it was interesting.
I found it was fun. A lot of like, you know, finding secret paths and stuff like that. Like, that was very cool. But it wasn't like move this block to jump on this thing. Like,
yeah. I'm not super impressed with the traversal in it.
Yeah, even with the chocobos, it's like, I mean, it's fun, but like the world map, it feels like it's not built for the chocobo mechanic that you've built it for, you know, other than like the absolute, like, bash you over the head with, this is where you use this chocobo in this specific, like, situation.
Yeah, I feel like I am constantly like
clipping on cliffs. Yeah.
And like, I get caught on like one tiny rock that I didn't see, and all of a sudden my chocobo's like, gets backed up. I'm like, like, it's only really useful to ride your chocobo and like go fast if you have like a big open area where you're not gonna run into any trees or any rocks or anything.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm like, I guess I'll just walk around.
So many times I want to put something in our chat that's a hint for something you will only understand at the point where you get it, where it will save you hours of your life. But I've decided not to do that for you guys.
Yeah, I feel like
I should do that, but I won't. But there are some things that are just ungodly, obnoxiously, like, this should be how it is, but it's not. And then you find out how it is supposed to be done, and you're like, there's no way.
It's like when people post like those spoilers, movie spoilers with no context, and it's just like four pictures that if you've seen the movie, they make sense. And if you haven't, they just seem totally random. Have you never seen something like this?
No, but like, is it kind of like looking at the picture that has a picture inside the picture kind of thing? No, it's not.
No, it'll be like you know,
I can understand the concept though.
Yeah.
So I won't do that to you guys. But
yeah, I haven't come up against anything too obnoxious yet. I mean, there's stuff that's obviously been like really hard, like the Fort Condor on hard mode.
That was
really fucking hard.
I tried once and I was like, maybe I'll skip that.
Yeah, that was the introduction of where I was like, this game could be borderline jank at times, and I'm like, it wasn't properly balanced, I don't think, for fun.
Well, there was definitely times in that where I was like, I've done the same thing and I'm getting a different result, and I hate that because now you're telling me that the rules don't make sense.
Yeah,
they don't. It's random.
Yeah, but that was also sort of like the top limiter where like. Stage 4 Fort Condor hard mode, I was like, this has to be as stupid and hard as this gets. You know, like, I imagine the battle system will get a little nuts, but like, I don't know. As far as like mini games are concerned, I didn't find
some of the mid games are fucking sick though. And I'm not sure if we're allowed. Are we spoiling anything? I mean,
I wouldn't say any major spoilers.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't.
Well, all right. Yeah.
I think the fact that Fort Condor is in it is not, you know.
Does not,
that's not really spoiler. Like, I think stuff that's in the original and that like is assumed is not really a spoiler.
Okay, so then like if we're talking about Cosmo Canyon and like,
I don't think we're there yet.
Oh
yeah, okay. I'm not there yet.
I mean, I'm personally not there.
Yeah, but. I would.
Oh no,
I would,
sorry,
like,
I didn't mean Cosmo Canyon. Sorry,
did you mean the
yet.
Gold Saucer?
I did mean the Gold Saucer.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I think the fact that like mini games are in the Gold Saucer, I don't think that's a spoiler.
Yeah. Okay. So like, the Chocobo racing.
I didn't do much more than the first time.
I only did the first one, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but even the first one, it's Mario Kart. It's great.
Yeah. It's fucking good. I actually did kind of like it.
I was not expecting to, but once I got the hang of it.
I'm glad it's not what it was.
Yeah.
That was like a stark low point of the original game.
I remember I was trying to think, as I'm playing this game, I'm also thinking about all of like the polygon like versions or mirroring of these situations. What was the racing like? I remember it being ridiculous and it made no sense in the original in 97.
Yeah, you could only like whip it left or right, and there was a boost button and that was it.
Was there an actual boost button?
Well, there was like a meter that was like, depending on like what kind of stuff you fed it or whatever its stats were or whatever, it was a meter where you just hit a button and it said like, then like it would go, and then when you went used it too much, then it would be all sad and walk slowly.
Oh yeah,
sucked. It's just,
yeah,
terrible.
Anyway, wildly better.
See, it's funny,
fun.
You guys didn't play Chocobo GP, did you?
No, I remember when that came out and you were excited about it.
I mean,
it.
So the game itself, as far as like a full spectrum game, is it's bad, but like the game itself, like with the actual racing in the game, it's not totally dissimilar to this. This is obviously a more polished version of that.
That's funny.
But it's like the way the drifts work and all that, it's very similar. Okay. So
Yeah.
I felt like I kind of had like a little bit of a pre-tutorial because the second I started playing it, I was like, oh yeah, like I got this. Yeah. Like, you know, I didn't go back to do the more stuff. I was actually telling Liz, the point where I think we're at now, at least where, I don't know where you're at, but like where we're at, it was the first time in the game that like I got back to an area and I was like, okay, so there's a lot of open world stuff. And it, I think we've all been pretty diligent about doing everything before right. going to the next area. But this is the first time that there's like, there's a lot of shit to do here. And there's still like one or two things in the last area. And
I have to finish off.
And
yeah.
I have to go back to Gold Saucer to do all this other shit. And it's like, man, yeah. like now I'm like pulled. Like, what do I prioritize here?
I did not like how, I guess it was Casa de Sol, that open area didn't allow you to finish the orb yes. balls thing. And I was like, I have to go on to the next thing. That was really frustrating.
Yeah, I looked that up. They couldn't have. Yeah. That was super annoying.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things.
When I looked it up and I was like, I have to wait till what chapter to finish this? Right, like, exactly. Are you kidding me? I was not happy about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know for sure that there's not anything missable in the game. So it's like,
that's good.
I'm not like super worried about that.
That's so good. I remember, I have been a little stressed about that because I remember there was a weapon for Aerith in the first game that was missable and I was real stressed about it.
Yeah.
I did get that.
And like, it would be so easy to miss.
Yeah.
Not stealing from that one boss. How would you?
Do you know that's exactly what you're describing is what deaded a run for me in Final Fantasy VIII. Like, yeah. Do you ever play Final Fantasy VIII?
No.
So in Final Fantasy VIII, you have to steal.
I would like to, though. It's a big gap in my knowledge, I think.
I am very certain you will not like that game.
The music's good.
I am very confident you will not like that game. I will describe what I was about to describe right now, and you'll be like, this is dumb.
Right,
so in this game, the only way that you use magic is you have to steal it from every enemy in the game. So it's like it's called stocking. So each enemy has random magic spells, and you stock a certain number of that spell. So like you'll steal two fires from this enemy.
Okay.
And so on and so forth.
Yeah, I do kind of hate that.
And without realizing it, very early in the game, if you're not aware of stocking literally every single enemy you encounter, you will miss major summons right away. Like there's a boss fight within the first like 5 hours of the game that if you don't draw from that boss, you will lose your opportunity to get a major summon forever. You and there's and there's never a way to get it back.
Ifrit, the first like
no the, fight. So the one different? The one that I lost out on was carnival parade whatever where Ultimessi is like sitting on the
I don't
the
think
thing.
I made it that far.
Okay, or Adia, right, whatever. There's a point where you're at this like town and there's a parade going on and the main female interest Rhinoa is getting accosted by these two lizard creatures, and it's not introduced to you like a boss fight, but it is a boss fight. It's like a mini boss. Like it doesn't play the boss music, right? But it's like a one-time fight enemy, and you have to draw that enemy to get Carbuncle. And I went like 3/4 of the way through the game, and I was like, okay, I'm at the point now where it's like I should look up where to get the summons or whatever. And I was like, wait, Carbuncle, like I never got Carbuncle. And I looked through and it's like, yeah, you draw it from this one enemy, and if you don't draw from that one enemy, that's you're locked stupid. Out forever. And I was like, fuck this.
Did that game also have a button mashing mechanic in it for something?
Yeah, so okay,
that's another reason.
Here's another reason why you'll hate this. And we haven't even got to junctioning yet. Sorry listeners, if you're if you have any PTSD from Final Fantasy VIII. So the way the limit break system works in that game is each character has a unique limit break, but you know how, like, in Final Fantasy VII, you get your limit break by taking damage or time passing, right?
Yeah.
So in this game, the only way you get access to your limit break is you have to be in critical health. So your character needs to be at, like, if you have 1,000 health, you need to be at 100 or less health. And that's the 10%. Only time that you can use your limit break. But you can use it over and over and over and over again. So it's like, so you'll never be at full health and have access to your limit break ever. Like, you have to deliberately take damage up to the point where you're almost going to die, and then you can use your limit break.
Hail Mary.
It's so stupid. It's so stupid. And then there's junctioning. Oh, my God. So you don't level up in Final Fantasy VIII. There's no leveling. The way that they do it instead is you have skills that you attach to your character, and then from the magic that you stole from enemies, you have to assign it to certain like pieces of your character.
Yeah.
And based on the configuration of that, this is called the junctioning system. So, oh, my God. It's like it's unfolding the layers of why I hate this. So the way that you junction is you have to bind a summon to your character, right?
Okay.
And by binding a summon to your character, it opens your ability to learn skills. And you do that by binding magic to certain like attributes, like stats, right? So like vitality, you'll put fire with vitality and that will boost your thing by some percentage. And all of the, and now mind you, think of every spell in a Final Fantasy game.
Yeah.
They all do different things to each of your different stats. So like, good luck knowing all that shit. Then it all changes based on the summon that you have equipped to your character.
Yeah.
So there's like so many permutations of how this changes, and all of your characters will level up in different ways. And then I just remembered how the summons work. So summons are not so it's not like you use this much magic and your summon comes out.
Okay.
The way that summons work is you can just summon them anytime, just whenever, at no penalty. And when the summon is called, right? So, like, let's say you summon Shiva. So, Shiva, your health bar is then replaced by the summon creature's health bar. Kind of not dissimilar to, like, Final Fantasy X,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, kind of sounds like...
But it's only there for the time that it takes the ATB to fill up. And then after the ATB fills up, it'll just use Diamond Dust and then go away. And then you... So, then you're like, well, wait a minute. Why wouldn't I just use Diamond Dust all the time? Exactly. It's such a stupid game. I hate that game so much. Yeah, let's try it. It's a 45, so you just have to change the speed. Yeah. Sorry, I just went on a total rant about Final Fantasy VIII. I really dislike that game.
I see that.
Yeah. But if you played it on...
Well, I still want to try it.
If you played it on PlayStation with the little boosty things, yeah, where it's just like you're always in Limit Break or whatever, like... That will obviously trivialize the game.
I don't even know if they... Like, I don't even know what it's available for because they had such problems porting it to different things because of how it was brokenly made.
They lost the source code for a while. But yeah. No, it's on PlayStation 4. It's okay. Very similar to Final Fantasy 7 where it's like, yeah, pushing the right stick for full health, pushing the left stick for no encounters, and pushing both for limit breaks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah, this is great.
Maybe I would play.
Yeah.
Name that game.
Bop, bop, bop. Definitely a Mario game.
This is a DS game. These are all DS games.
Is this Mario 64 on the DS?
New Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah. Right.
I was wrong.
In case listeners want to know what our background
sorry,
is.
Sorry, yeah, we're listening. We're listening to,
you hear it.
I'm sure us describing music to them is very
anyway,
interesting.
Anyway, going back to what we were talking about before. Yeah.
Final Fantasy VII? Still good.
Still good. Yeah. Still enjoying it.
Yeah.
Hoping it doesn't wear off because I feel like there's so much left.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
I'm a little scared.
At one point during the story, I definitely felt like there was like it was like hitting its stride, and I was like, okay, I see what's going to go on. It started getting a little bit more like new and interesting and different. It doesn't follow. It's like I don't know. It's they keep it going, and it's
yeah.
Interesting.
I think
for the real twist. I guess.
Yeah, I think the thing that is
based
gonna
on the, sorry.
Yeah, I think the thing that's gonna make or that's making this game so special right now is the frequency of new things that you're doing, yeah, right? It's like the open world stuff is there, but even just like regular missions, the little like mini games, like the dolphin thing and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's
like,
so many mini games. It's surprising.
It's a lot of sprinkles. It reminds me of like, you know, I don't think this is like an actual term that people use, but like variety games, right? Like old Ratchet and Clanks or Jak and Daxters or Spyros or stuff like that. It's like a game where like you're literally doing something different every like couple hours, you know? There's like the main loop, but then it's like, oh, now you're snowboarding. Now you're whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I like all that stuff.
I didn't know they were called variety games.
I don't think they are. I just made that up.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to use that term from now on.
But you know what I mean? Where it's like there's a core thing that you're doing, but then you're also doing all these other things.
Like in It Takes Two.
Yes. Exactly. Like exactly that.
And you get a new ability in every level. And totally. So you're interacting with the level differently every time.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, like there's a way, like the core of that game is like, you know, third-person action game, but then you're also fighting a squirrel on a plane. Yeah. In like a 2D fighting game. That was Mario. Still such an awesome moment.
Yeah.
Because most Mario games would be also that exact same formula, right? Every stage being something different. New mechanic,
but they're all 2D side scrollers, right? Like I mean, Final Fantasy VII is like sometimes it's a rail shooter, sometimes it's a racing game, sometimes it's a you know,
I agree.
Sometimes it's a PS1 graphic tactics game or what you call like a lane defense game.
Yeah.
So the point that I'm at now is like I'm hoping that I can finish this cycle with Final Fantasy VII. And get into some of the other games. Like I feel like I'm going to go in hard on Unicorn Overlord after this.
Same.
But it really comes up against Rise of Ronin, which I'm really interested in.
What's coming out next?
Rise of Ronin. So that's the end of this month, or the 22nd or something. So it's like 2 weeks that game comes out. Yeah. Let me verify that. But I know that that's the next thing.
I'm really pressing up against that timing. I also would like to finish Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
That's never going to happen. Yeah,
but you've gotten so much farther now.
I'm at like 3, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, I haven't played since Final Fantasy, so since like the last time.
Mm.
But I actually talked to Alex today, and we said we were going to play maybe tomorrow night, if you want to play. Or, yeah, tomorrow night.
Also, listeners, you might hear the return of Alex soon. Hopefully. In a different capacity, but coming soon.
No, he's dead to us.
Yeah. March 22nd is Rise of Ronin. So that's kind of the next thing where I was like, and I was sort of on the fence with Rise of Ronin, but frankly, I'm more interested in playing Unicorn Overlord than I am that, so I'm like not super worried. But then the next one after that in April is Stellar Blade, and I'm amped on Stellar Blade.
Looks good. I'm more interested in Stellar Blade than I am Rise of Ronin. Jesus.
Did you hear about the demo fiasco?
No.
Well, not a fiasco.
For which game?
For Stellar Blade. So I don't know how it happened, but a demo for the game dropped on PlayStation.
I did hear this.
Like last week for 20 minutes.
Wow.
And because I guess somebody pulled the trigger and did the wrong thing, and a bunch of people downloaded it, and now there's all this footage of the demo of this game. Yeah. And
is it good?
Looks good. Yeah. Is the looks game good?
Quite
yeah.
good.
No, I think the game also looks good. Yeah. It's I don't know. I'm still intrigued by that game. I think it's going to be an interesting thing because it's like a second party, new second party. We haven't seen the studio do something yet, and PlayStation basically paid for it, so they must believe in it. But that's the same thing with Rise of Ronin, and I feel like Rise of Ronin is going to be like a Liz game.
Looks like a Liz game.
Yeah.
So I'm not 100% confident in it, so I might wait, but. I just because there's so much stuff going on, I might wait for some reviews to come out, just in case it's a disaster.
I think the previews already dropped. Like, I think, or at least this week coming up, I think you're going to start seeing, like, first 20 minutes of Rise of Ronin or something. Yeah. I remember hearing people saying that they got their review codes and they're, like, doing stuff. Yeah. So, news sooner than later.
Yeah.
Hopefully the reviews come out soon, because then that would show, like, a lot of confidence, you know?
Yeah. Mm.
Who knows? That's next week.
I know.
That's next week.
Yeah, we got a lot going on in the next week. Yeah,
that's right. Wedding.
Personally.
PAX,
yeah.
Whoa. It's going to be great.
It's a lot. Final Fantasy VII. There's nothing. I can't think of anything else besides Final Fantasy VII Rebirth right now.
Yeah, it really is.
Anything more?
Taking up so much brain space.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really want to know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I know. Right? That's the other thing. It's doing such a good job of keeping my attention above, 25 to 35 miles per hour, and certain points I'm like booking it at 80 miles per hour. I'm like so excited, but I've never stopped to a standstill of like a 5 or a 10 miles per hour.
But even when I'm doing the side stuff, I'm still thinking like, I wonder what's gonna happen in the next area, and then what's going on with Zach.
Yeah,
and,
right. What's happening with Zach?
What is happening with Zach?
You know what's funny? I
have theories. Yeah.
There are certain feelings that I have that are definitely driven from the first game. Like, it's no secret that Yuffie's in this game, but I have such a weird, like, standoffish relationship with Yuffie because I'm like, you're going to steal my shit at some point.
Right?
Yeah.
I was like, you're going to steal my shit and run away. So I'm like equipping like the bad materia on her, and I'm like using her very infrequently in battles.
I love Yuffie.
She's cool.
I do like the way she plays quippy. A lot.
Yeah. And she's written really well. Yeah. I really enjoy her.
Yeah.
I have like her, my main.
Her battle mechanic is very cool.
Who do you prefer to play with? Your three characters?
I thought about this. I switch them out very often, and I switch them out with each other very often. Like I'm constantly trying to do the synergies to see them but hang out with each other.
Favorites. Yeah. Pick your favorites.
What's your favorite combination?
Tifa.
Obviously.
Tifa. It's probably Tifa and Aerith for me,
honestly,
too.
Honestly, I've been playing Tifa Yuffie a lot just for fun, and the ATBs go up fast. Real fast.
I actually really like Barret. I find Barret to just be like, he's like the get it done, right? Like if I'm pushing through a battle and I'm not like fucking with the mechanics or really trying with
if
other stuff.
If I want to turn it on Barret, easy mode, I'm just going to put Barret in the battle.
Barret does make things pretty easy. I will say I haven't used Red as much as I'd like to. I've used him a lot. Like I understand everything that he's got going on, but I'm just not super like intrigued by like Vengeance mode.
I still haven't been able to really lock down his like pattern yet. I mean, yeah. You have to wait for an attack so that you can block it, which means that you have to make sure that you're blocking a blockable attack. Then you gotta counter that, which is letting go and then attacking, which builds the meter. Then you use the meter, and then your other abilities change in certain ways.
Yeah.
I don't love... Actually, I do use red probably the most, though. I use Tifa and red the most. And I don't
Tifa's
love
the most fun to play. I think it's undeniable how fun
it is. I keep Tifa on there just because she's fun to play, even though like I feel like I should play with Yuffie because she's like super useful. But
she's really useful.
She's ranged so useful and with the elements. And she's so useful. But but I just like playing with Tifa. She's just fun. So yeah, either Tifa and Red or Tifa and Yuffie. But I like... I got that haste ability with Red.
Yeah.
And
that's good.
Yeah. That's so great.
Also, you're at a point
like anytime I do a battle simulator or anything, like just get Red, get him up to 2 bars, use the vengeance mode, haste everybody, and then just let him do damage on his own and do whatever he needs to do while I'm playing as other characters.
Yeah, I usually have him with what's like auto special ability with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like whatever those materials are, I'm just like, like I want you here, but like I don't really want to mess with you too much, but I want you to be doing cool things. Yeah, and the most recent character, I think we all probably have this character.
Yeah. I don't fuck with at all.
Interesting. I'm learning more about why that character's cool, but it's very similar to the first game where it's just like it's mostly random. Much of what you're doing is based on chance, but that's like the point, you know.
And that's where you apply the luck materia. I don't know. I've been playing.
That makes sense. That's why he comes with the luck materia.
Also, he's the first one that comes with the all materia, which I was like, holy shit.
He also has like the dude. When I saw Magnify, I was like, oh my god.
Right?
Yeah. It's like taking it off you. It's going on air.
Yeah.
But it's funny too because like I
did I'm so sorry.
No, you keep.
I just wanted to mention that I thought that was very good, like subtle game design, where they were like, oh, you have this character, and then. Like, there's a luck materia attached to the level up materia.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like softly signaling, like, luck is important here. Yeah. Like, this is something you should care about. And it's like, oh, cool.
I would say that I tried really hard to, like, I try really hard to play each character, and I play through the tutorials mainly just to see if I can understand their mechanics.
So I'm fully informed when I make my decision.
Yeah. I have been trying really hard to make that character good. And there are ways, like, he's quite strong.
A lot of the dice stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like
I feel like the way that we're talking about. If you
everybody knows who we're talking.
Yeah,
about.
Yeah, if you play the original game, you know what we're talking about. I mean, it's not surprising. He was in, like, he was. They showed him.
There's one
trailer
scene
where
they
showed
him. Just a trailer.
Yeah. No, it was in the Intergrade or something. They had it was in one of the games.
Not playably.
No, but they had like a 5 second where they just like showed the character, and you were like, "What?"
Yeah.
All right, Reno joins your
party. I will say that this character looks great.
Yeah,
looks great,
and I also
like weirdly
great.
Good
love,
in comparison.
Yeah,
the Irish accent, was that necessary? Scottish accent?
Yeah, because
was that was actually the intention.
Are we going to say
no,
it is?
Because totally it's the intention. He was voiced like that in Advent Children.
I don't remember that at all.
The name is a Gaelic name.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, because there's a lot of debate online about how it was going to be pronounced.
Yeah.
The Gaelic way, or like the way that people actually pronounce it.
Ketchy or whatever.
Yeah, like that's how the Gaelic way to pronounce it.
Which is not the right one.
What other character in the game has a Gaelic name? I wonder. Well, this character comes in play around, I don't know, the Gold Saucer era. So, he's a cool character. Yeah, he's fun. It's interesting. I've been using him a lot, actually. Yeah.
So his lore has always been that he's... Irish or whatever.
Yeah. Who have you been playing with most?
I just wanted
Tifa and Red.
Was it just Tifa and Red?
Tifa and Red or Tifa and Yuffie.
Never Aerith?
I never played with Aerith.
Wow.
She's
playing
fun.
With Eric.
Aerith is a monster.
Yeah.
I just...
She's the support class. She boosts everybody. She makes everybody better.
Dude. And prayer?
Whew. Yeah. It's like that helps. All. That helps
a lot.
You know
why? I feel like it's so hard to charge her ATBs.
Yes.
And
until you drop Radiant Ward, just like
get
1 bar, drop Radiant Ward, and she'll get meter faster than basically anybody.
Yeah, but even then, like then I'm in the thing, and if someone knocks me out, then I gotta get back to it. Like, and I feel like when you're playing a specific character, like then the enemies always target you, and like so my support characters, I want them to be able to sort of like handle themselves on their own. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like Aerith, like, I need to be using her to be making the most out of her. And I don't want to be using her all the time because I don't want her to be the main focus of attack in the battle.
Yeah.
There's definitely a juggle with attentions with each character, I feel. Like, it's constantly jumping from one character, doing a bit ATB down, next character. With Aerith, it is interesting. She spools up slowly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are, like, there are ways that you can, that, like, mechanics that they put in to try to help with that, like, ways that you can block attacks or create shields and all that stuff, but
like, for start me, with, what you call it, like, materia that starts you with higher ATB or whatever.
And, like, it just, yeah, but then you have to start with a lot of ATB and, like, get those moves off before you can really, so I feel like in the open world, it's not, like, super useful, so I feel like
she's I would agree with that.
That's what I, you know what I mean? Like, it takes...
She's a boss character. Like,
yes,
I almost need her in any boss fight. Like, she's, like, critical in that way.
Yeah. So, like...
Tifa as well. Tifa just raises, like, stagger so fast.
She's just fun. She's just the funnest character.
Yeah. Man. You're just kind of doing combos. It feels like you're just doing limit break.
Unless there's flying enemies. She kind of sucks against flying enemies.
Well, then you use... She totally sucks against flying enemies, and I just use her anyway, because I'm like, we're going to figure it out, Tifa!
No, she's got the...
but she's got the
if you're, Gale move.
And...
her uppercut.
Do you use any of like the other like synergy Unbridled. Abilities?
Oh yeah, all the time.
Yeah, so like she's got the move where Cloud lifts her up.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So that's the way you get around that.
I mean, yeah, but yeah, I mean, all right, yeah. The synergies take so long to.
No, that's free.
Generate.
Also confirmed after our last conversation.
Those abilities, like when you hold guard and then he has the thing and he lifts her up.
Still not using them. That's, I've got to use them.
So that's what I'm saying. I was like, there's like very clear way around this. That's free.
Two funny things from our conversation last week. First thing, after we talked about that last week, I was like realizing that I don't think I've ever used them. Yeah. So then when I went back to play, like right after you guys left, when I went into that battle, I'm like, this was chapter 7. Sorry, I hit R1, and right after I hit R1, it was like, bloop, bloop. This is what guarding is. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I've literally never guarded the entire game so far.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, so that was a funny thing. And then...
That's crazy.
Because you can't dodge everything. Like, the dodging doesn't even work like the dodge.
You can dodge a lot.
You can dodge I am very
confident in my dodging ability.
I try to precision block a lot.
Yeah, same.
See, I just don't. I just like, dodge everything.
Because dodging...
I like Bloodborne. I don't like Dark Souls. Yeah. I like Bloodborne.
Yeah, but there's no... Are there actually iframes when you dodge? Because I feel like I'm still getting hit by like magic attacks, even if I'm trying to dodge.
I think it depends. Some of them you just have to run away from.
So then...
Like if somebody hits you with Blizzard, like you just have to run away from that.
Well, yeah, then you dodge. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not even dodge. Like you literally just run away, and like you'll get away from it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I got up to chapter 7. I'm playing on normal.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So that was funny. And then
those abilities are useful.
Yeah.
To put an end cap on another topic that we had last week, there is not a thing with other characters when you dodge and
I left and also tried to use other characters' dodge and then use their attack, and there was nothing.
Just Cloud. Cloud is just OP. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. And now that I have that, it was super helpful breaking boxes.
Wait, Red 13 has one, doesn't he?
I did not notice a difference.
I checked it with one or two other characters and didn't see that there was anything. Special. I assumed that.
Yeah,
there was
I tried with basically everybody because Cloud is immediately obvious.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's also interesting.
It's also great, but I did also find that it's like a little lame. There are certain fights that you have access to that like you're definitely underleveled for at different junctures, and I was still able to beat those because I was just straight cheesing it with the blade beams. Like
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like when you're in
like
it's like a battle arena but you can only play as Cloud. There's a couple that are like way higher
so
level than you.
Yeah.
I was able to get through those literally just dodging and blade beaming just like one after the other. Just like dodge blade. And you stay so far away and you're doing little bits of damage, but it's enough where like you'll stagger them and then dump all the ATB on them, and then it's like, okay, back to my bullshit, you know?
Back to my bullshit. Interesting, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was the thing.
So, accidentally talked about it for another 10 minutes, but...
Yeah.
Here it is. There's really not much else in news that I wanted to discuss, so, I mean, we could put a pin in it here if we like and save ourselves a little bit of time to play more games.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me, too. Guys, thank you for joining us this week on the Crit Rated Podcast. be sure to go to critrate.io so you can check out your gamer profile, as well as like seeing, I'm seeing a lot of activity on the site recently. So like, go in there and rate a bunch of your games and see what games are being recommended to you. See what things are floating to the top for your house, and check out the unrated game section and see if there's something that you haven't rated yet. And yeah, throw your opinion on there. See what's going on. Check out the upcoming game section, which is a little, which is more fleshed out now, where you can see all the games that are coming up. Honestly, in probably the most cohesive way versus any other website I've gone on. And I'm not just trying to like, you know, I'm not just trying to like amp us up a little bit.
It's pretty well designed.
Yeah.
But dude, like when you look at some of these other sites that are like, here's all the upcoming games, it's like kind of annoying to navigate that. And just getting like a big, beautiful page that shows you all the artwork is just a nice thing. So
that's true.
Check that out. In the meantime, thank you, Liz. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Justin.
And we'll see you all in the next week's episode. Bye, everybody.
All right. Bye.
Bye.